Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Last week, the Oireachtas Justice Committee conducted pre-legislative scrutiny on the Garda Síochána Digital Recording Bill 2021. Now, this bill will provide a legal basis for the use of body-worn cameras by members of the Gardaí and the extension of circumstances in which CCTV and automatic number plate recognition devices may be used by the Gardaí. And the committee heard from some with serious concerns about their introduction. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. And I'm also joined by Dr. Pat Leahy, retired Assistant Garda Commissioner. Good morning to you both. You're very welcome. Liam, I'll start with you. Why is the Council for Civil Liberties so opposed to the use of body cams by an Garda Síochána?
Good morning, Claire. Well, I mean, the background to this is that the Commission on the Future Policing recommended the introduction of body-worn cameras. And their thinking was that body-worn cameras, this is that serving members of the guards would have cameras, digital cameras, on their kit that would film members of the public and their interaction with them. The thinking was that this would improve crime detection, reduce assaults against guards, and also improve Garda behaviour towards the public. And they were looking at some evidence from the United States where these had been widely used for some time. And if all of those benefits really were delivered, I think there would be a case for this technology. But we've analysed the issue in a bit more depth, and whereas there was early studies in the States from about 2012 with small sample sizes, which pointed to some benefit. And we have to remember that in the US, the primary motivation in the US was the issue of police use of lethal force, in particular in a racialized context, which is not, thankfully, a problem we have on a wide scale here. The later studies in the US over larger samples have indicated that there's marginal, if any, benefit. And from a public policy perspective here, do we really want to spend money on expensive technology which will increase the level of surveillance of the public and could, in our view, jeopardize the very strong relationship we have between the community and the guards if there's not any benefits? So it's really a question of what the evidence suggests, and in our view, the case isn't made for this technology.
Okay, all right. Well, Pat Leahy, what's your view on that? Does it jeopardize the relationship between the Gardaí and the public?
Well, I think it's unfortunate, Claire, that we find ourselves in this situation that the guards or the police have to wear body cams, they have to record their interactions. But look, unfortunately, I think we're on an unstoppable trajectory when it comes to the use of CCTV. And the guards are coming quite late to this party in terms of using body cams, but the actual use of CCTV is not something new to the guards. Back in the late 90s, they introduced the surveillance into the Garda stations with the audio and visual recording of everything in custody areas and in interview suites. And I can remember at the time the guards were dead against it because they thought they'd never get a statement of admission again, they'd never get prisoners or arrested people to talk to us. And of course, that wasn't the case at all. And they wouldn't operate without it now because it provided such safety for not only the guards but also for the people that were being arrested. And I think this is all about balancing changes in society, Claire. I mean, we've seen how guards now at protests are being videoed and the videos are being edited and we're getting an edited view of it and the guards are feeling on the back foot. So from that perspective, it levels it out a little bit. But also,
so are you saying then that if a film is made at a protest and it is released and it appears that the guard is doing something that guard shouldn't be doing, that the Gardaí would then release footage from a body cam showing the real story?
I don't think they have to release it, Claire, but I do think that they have it to produce it as evidence in court afterwards. But at the moment they don't, so it puts them on the back foot straight away. So that's only one use of it. But look, there's going to be great safeguards around this, Claire, in terms of how it can be used and when it will be used and how it's stored and how it can be accessed afterwards by the public themselves, by somebody who feels that they have been subject to recording. And the guards have to tell you when they're recording you. And there's a red light that comes on the camera. It's downloaded. It's secured. You can't edit it afterwards. So I do think it's just providing a little bit of balance in society at the moment for the guards. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with Liam in as much as it's unfortunate that we have found ourselves here. But look, there's a propensity, and rightly so now, for people to make complaints against the guards. And I think the guards are just trying to get a little bit of confidence back to say, OK, look, we can engage with people now And the true story will come out no matter what it is.
Yeah, Liam.
So I think it works on both sides.
Liam, do you think that that's a valid point? And we have seen it in the past where edited footage from protests can be released and we're told this is exactly what happened. Well, actually, it emerged down the line. That's not what happened. It was edited to make it seem as though an incident was skewed against the individual who released the footage.
Well, see, that problem, I suppose, cuts both ways, Claire. I mean, there's an assumption implicit there that the Garda body-worn camera will provide an objective and accurate account of what happened. But of course, again, we've seen from the US that that doesn't always bear out. The point at which a camera is turned on will determine which stage of the incident is recorded, for example, and mightn't include provocation that might have happened at an earlier point in time. Now, in fairness, the legislation contemplates an offence of tampering with the camera, so it recognises that this can happen. But Pat talks about the safeguards that will be in place. I mean, certainly what's good here is the government is involving the Data Protection Commissioner and the Human Rights and Equality Commission in the design of the protocols. That's a very positive step. But we have to bear in mind that the Data Protection Commissioner at the moment has been carrying out investigations for 3 years into current Garda use of CCTV and has found that there's significant deficiencies in what's there at the moment about how the guards are authorising the use of it, who has access to material, the inadequate training. So at the moment, the Data Protection Commissioner is saying the way guards use surveillance technology is deeply problematic. And in that context, expanding it, I think, is a worry. And Pat says that it's an unstoppable trajectory, that we'll have more and more recording. Well, I think from the public, we need to step back and say, is that really what we want? Because we see in countries like our nearest neighbours in the United Kingdom, they have one of the highest levels of surveillance in the world. And it has undoubtedly impacted on the relationship between police and the public. And there's no obvious benefits accrued in terms of crime detection. So I think we should really think about what type of society and what type of policing culture we want.
Okay. Can you address that for me, Pat? I mean, is it beneficial, the use of body-worn technology, increased use of CCTV, reading the number plates and so on. Does this help with crime detection?
It does, Claire. Look, but I have to agree with Liam in terms of the body cams and, you know, looking at crime stats. There was never an intention, is my understanding from the research I've done on it, that it would affect crime figures. And I would agree with Liam, it doesn't affect crime figures.
Well, why is it being done then?
Well, you see, what it is, as I say there, it's balancing the engagement between the public and the guards, or the public and police, which has changed over years. And, I mean, you have to be able to show now that what you've done has been legal, necessary, proportionate, non-discrimination, and you stand accountable for what you do. And this is one of the ways of providing that. And the legislation will cover the editing of it, as Ian said. The guards cannot interfere with the recording when it's made. So it's there and it's available for a certain period of time. If there's no evidential value, it's destroyed automatically. But if there is evidential value there, then it's preserved and it's produced in court. So you get an actual real-life view of what actually happened on the side of the road or in the house. And remember, it's only used in certain occasions. It'll be used for domestic violence, public order, arrest, stop and search, home searches, interviews, protests, things like that, that are very relevant, that bring the police and the community sometimes into conflict.
It's a strange situation to be in, you know, because the public have the cameras and they're recording, we want them too. And now the same could be said for guns and knives. You know, if there's increased use by the public of guns and knives, then the Gardaí should have them too. If you extrapolate from the logic.
I know where you're coming from. I don't agree with that. But what I do say is, look, things have changed in society. And no matter what we do now, we can't reverse it. And I think the guards are feeling a little bit, or the police in general are feeling a little bit on the back foot here. But there are obvious other benefits to this, apart from the police themselves. But the police are saying, look, we don't have the confidence to go into certain situations because complaints are going to be made. Once a complaint is made, you're on the back foot straight away. You have nothing to prove or disprove what took place in a particular environment. So look, just level out the playing pitch a small bit. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. And it does actually work. Clear. What happened in the Garda stations and in the interview rooms was quite significant. It was a fabulous, positive change in policing and the way we do our business. Albeit that we fought it in the beginning, it's something that they wouldn't do their jobs without now. And I think it has benefited everyone. So I think, look, introducing this and putting some sort of a system in place that goes in and evaluates it afterwards, I think would be really, really positive.
Can you describe the changes that happened in the interview suites when the cameras were introduced?
Well, what it meant was everything was audio and video recorded, Claire. All the conversations, all allegations of assault and assaults were reduced almost completely, almost overnight. It changed the nature of the engagement. And it professionalised policing in a way that you had to operate in a particular way. You had to follow certain guidelines. The actual way that you spoke to somebody or questioned somebody was available to be watched and is watched now regularly by juries. And it really has been a positive step. Now, I can remember working with SHRAC at the time, the Strategic Human Rights Advisory Committee, and this was happening in Scotland. And we were told it would come in Ireland, but we didn't prepare for it in time, no matter how hard we tried, but so it kind of hit us very quickly. But once it actually was established, Claire, it was a very, very positive move for everybody concerned.
Okay. Liam, do you take any heart from that example?
I completely support the positive effects of the audiovisual recording in Garda stations, but I think we're talking about two very different things, Claire. Of course, technology can be useful in a legally controlled context. So if somebody is suspected of an offence, is under caution in a Garda station, that's a controlled event, and it's appropriate that there's an accurate record kept of it. Similarly, if a serious crime happens and the guards want to access CCTV footage in that area under warrant approved by a judge, that's an appropriate use of technology. But it's a completely different thing to have ordinary members of the public who are not suspected of committing crime or going about their daily lives being filmed by the guards on an ongoing basis. And that really is the price that is at stake here. It's not just the question of your privacy being impeded by being filmed, and we know that this can have tragic consequences when sometimes Garda CCTV footage has been shared inappropriately, but it's also the inhibiting factor that this has on people who might want to take part in a protest, for example. And I think we need to be careful about where we're going here. We also need to be mindful that the technology and its capacity is increasing all the time. We have facial recognition technology being used by police services in the UK that's been legally challenged. We have drones being used as well. So the level of invasions of our privacy that can be done with digital recording are increasing. And our fear really is that we're going to be going to an onward, upward escalation of more and more surveillance on all sides. And that, I would suggest, is not the type of society we want to live in, especially if the crime detection benefits are unproven.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you both indeed, Dr. Pat Leahy and Liam Herrick from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. We're getting lots of texts in about the bank holiday and when it should be. We'll bring those to you later on in the programme.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.